June 20, 1926. Ecce Homo. Jesus felt as many deaths for as many as were those who cried out, "Crucify him." One who lives in the divine will takes the fruit of the pains of Jesus. The ideal of Jesus in creation was the kingdom of his will and souls. After going through most bitter days because of the privation of my sweet Jesus, I felt I could take no more. I moaned under a press that crushed my soul and body, and I longed for my celestial fatherland, in which not even for one instant would I be without the one who is all my life and my highest and only good. Then, when I reduced myself to the extremes without Jesus, I felt myself being filled completely with him, in such a way that I remained like a veil that covered him. And since I was thinking about the pains of his passion and accompanying him, especially in the act in which Pilate showed him to the people, saying, "Ecce Homo, my sweet Jesus told me, my daughter," as Pilate said "Ecce Homo," all cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him, we want him dead." And so did my very celestial father and my inseparable and pierced mama, and not only those who were present, but all the absent and all generations, past and future. And if someone did not say it with words, he said it with facts, because there was not a single one who said he wanted me alive, and to keep silent is confirmation of what others want. This cry of death from all was so very painful for me. I felt as many deaths for as many as were the people who cried out, "Crucify him." I felt as though drowned with pains and with death. More so, since I could see that each death of mine would not bring life to each one, and those who received life because of my death would not receive all the complete fruit of my passion and death. My sorrow was so great, that my moaning humanity was about to succumb and breathe its last. But while I was dying, with its all-seeingness my supreme will made present to my dying humanity all those who would let the eternal volition reign in them with absolute dominion, who would take the complete fruit of my passion and death. Among them there was my dear mother, as their head. She took all the deposit of all my goods and of the fruits contained in my life, passion and death. Not even one breath of mine did she allow to be lost, nor did she fail to keep its precious fruit in her custody. And from her they were to be transmitted to the little newborn of my will and to all those in whom the supreme volition would have its life and its kingdom. When my extinguishing humanity saw the complete fruit of my life, passion and death placed in safety and secured, it was able to resume and continue the course of its sorrowful passion. So, it is my will alone that brings all the fullness of my goods and the complete fruit contained in creation, redemption and sanctification. Wherever it reigns, our works are all full of life, nothing is halved or incomplete. While where it does not reign, even if some virtues were present, everything is misery, everything incomplete, and if they produce any fruit at all, it is unripe and without maturity. And if they take the fruits of my redemption, they take them with measure and without abundance, therefore they grow as weak, sick and feverish. And if they do a little bit of good, they do it strained and they feel crushed under the weight of that bit of good that they do. On the other hand, my will empties the human will and in that void it places the divine strength and the life of good. Therefore, one who lets it reign within herself does good without strain, and the life she contains leads her to operate good with an irresistible strength. So, my humanity found life in my passion and death, and in those in whom my will would reign. Therefore creation and redemption will always be incomplete until my will has its kingdom and souls. After this, I was doing my usual acts in the supreme volition, and my sweet Jesus, coming out from within my interior, followed everything I did with his gaze. And since he saw that all my acts identified with his, and by virtue of the supreme will, they followed the same course as his acts, and repeated the same good and the same glory for our celestial Father, taken by emphasis of love he clasped me to his heart and told me, "My daughter, even though you are little and newly born in my will, and you live in the kingdom of my will, your littleness is my triumph." And when I see you operate in it, I find myself in the kingdom of my will like a king who has fought a long war. Since his idea was victory, in seeing himself victorious, he feels cheered of the bloody battle, from the hardships suffered and from the wounds still impressed on his person, and his triumph is warmed as he sees himself surrounded by the conquests he has made. The king wants to look at everything, his gaze wants to delight in the kingdom conquered, and, triumphant, he smiles and makes feast. So I am. My ideal in creation was the kingdom of my will in the soul of the creature. My primary purpose was to make of man the image of the divine Trinity by virtue of the fulfillment of my will upon him. But as man withdrew from it, I lost my kingdom in him, and for as long as 6,000 years I had to sustain a long battle. But, long as it has been, I have not dismissed my ideal and my primary purpose, nor will I dismiss it. And if I came in redemption, I came to realize my ideal and my primary purpose, that is, the kingdom of my will and souls. This is so true, that in order to come, I formed my first kingdom of the supreme volition in the heart of my immaculate mama. Outside of my kingdom I would never have come upon earth. Then I suffered hardships and pains, I was wounded and killed at last, but the kingdom of my will was not realized. I laid the foundations, I made some preparations, but the bloody battle between the human will and the divine has yet continued. Now, my little daughter, when I see you operate in the kingdom of my will and, as you operate, its kingdom is established more and more in you, I feel victorious in my long battle and everything around me takes the attitude of triumph and feast. My pains, the hardships, the wounds, smile at me, and my very death gives me back the life of my will in you. So I feel victorious in creation and in redemption. Even more, they serve to form the long rounds for the newborn of my will, her rapid flights, her endless strolls in the kingdom of my will. And so I boast in triumph, and delighting, I follow with my gaze all the steps and acts of my little daughter. See, all have their ideal, and when they realize it, only then are they content. The little baby also has his ideal, to attach himself to the breast of his mama, and while he cries and sobs, as soon as his mama opens her lap to him, the baby stops crying, takes on a smile, and flinging himself, he attaches himself to the breast of his mama and, victorious, he suckles and suckles until he is full. And while he suckles, triumphant, he takes his sweet sleep. So I am. After long crying, when I see the lap of a soul who opens the doors to me, to give place to the kingdom of my will, my tears stop, and flinging myself onto her lap, I attach myself to her, and suckling her love and the fruits of the kingdom of my will, I take my sweet sleep and I rest victorious. Even the tiny little bird, its ideal is the seed, and when it sees it, it beats its wings, it runs, hurls itself over the seed. Victorious, it grabs it with its beak and, triumphant, it continues its flight. So I am. I fly and fly. I go round and round to form the kingdom of my will in the soul, that she may form for me the seed to nourish me, because I use no other food but that which is formed in my kingdom. And when I see the celestial seed, more than little bird, I fly to make of it my food. So, for each, everything is in realizing the ideal one has set for himself. This is why, when I see you operate in the kingdom of my will, I see my ideal realized, and I feel repaid for the work of creation and redemption, and the triumph of my will established in you. Therefore be attentive, and let the victory of your Jesus be permanent in you. Then after this, my sweet Jesus moved in my interior, and, all tenderness, told me, "My daughter, tell me, what about your ideal, your purpose, what is it?" And I, my love, Jesus, my ideal is to fulfill your will, and all my purpose is to reach the point at which no thought, word, heartbeat and work of mine may ever go out of the kingdom of your supreme will. Even more, in it may they be conceived, nourished, raised in form their life, and if needed, also their death, though I know that in your will no act dies, but once it is born it lives eternally. So, it is the kingdom of your will and my poor soul that I long for, and this is all my ideal and my primary and ultimate purpose. And Jesus, all love and making feast, added, My daughter, so, my ideal and yours are one, and therefore one is our purpose. Brava, brava, the little daughter of my will. And since your ideal and mine are one, you two have sustained the battle of long years to conquer the kingdom of my will. You had to endure pains, privations, and have been even a prisoner in your little room, bound to your little bed, to conquer the kingdom so much wanted and longed for by me and by you. It cost much to both of us, and now we are both triumphant and conquerors. So, you two are the little queen in the kingdom of my will, and even though little, you are always queen because you are the daughter of the great king, of our celestial father. Therefore, as conqueror of a kingdom so great, take possession of all creation, of all redemption and of all heaven, everything is yours, because your rights of possession extend wherever my will reigns as whole and permanent. All are waiting for you to give you the honors that befit your victory. You too are the little baby who has so much cried and longed for her Jesus. But as soon as you have seen me your tears have stopped, and flinging yourself onto my lap, you have attached yourself to my breast and, victorious, you have succulent my will and my love. As though in triumph, you have taken rest in my very arms, and I rocked you so that your sleep might be longer, and I might enjoy my newborn in my own arms. And, triumphant, I extended the kingdom of my will on you. Also, you are the tiny little dove that has gone around and around me, and while I spoke to you about my will, manifesting to you the knowledges about it, its goods, its prodigies and even its sorrow, you beat your wings, and hurling yourself over the many seeds I placed before you, you grabbed them with your beak and, triumphant, you continued your flight around me, waiting for more seeds of my will which I would place before you. And, again, grabbing them with your beak, you nourished yourself and, victorious, continued your flight, manifesting the kingdom of my will. So, my prerogatives are yours, my kingdom and yours are one. We have suffered together, it is right that together we enjoy our conquests. I remained surprised on hearing this, and I thought to myself, but, is it really true that in my poor soul there is this kingdom of the supreme will? I felt all confused, and if I wrote this, I did it to obey. But, as I am writing, Jesus has surprised me, and coming out from within my interior he has thrown his arms around my neck, squeezing me so very tightly, to the point that I could not write anymore because my poor head was no longer in me. But immediately Jesus disappeared, and I continue writing. So, while I was afraid, Jesus told me, My daughter, my celestial mama was able to give me to others because she conceived me within herself, she raised me and nourished me. No one can give something he does not have, and if she gave me to the other creatures it was because she possessed me. Now, I would never have told you so much about my will had I not wanted to form its kingdom in you, nor would you have loved it so much had it not been yours. The things that are not one's own are kept reluctantly, and cause bother and weight. Had you not had the springing fount of the kingdom of my will within you, you would not have been able to repeat what I have told you, nor put it on paper. Lacking the possession, you would lack the light and the love to manifest it. So, if the sun shines in you, and with its rays it feeds you the words, the knowledges, and how it wants to reign, it is a sign that you possess it. And therefore your task is to make it known, just as the task of the sovereign queen was to make me known and to give me for the salvation of all.